Welcome to Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. I'm sitting in Glendale, California today in the office of Bruce Anderson. Bruce Anderson is the Plan Compliance Officer for the California Medicaid Plan at Anthem. Bruce, thanks for having me over.
You're very welcome. Happy to be here.
So today what we're going to do is talk about working with colleagues who aren't in the office with you. We talk a lot in compliance about how do you deal with a distributed workforce, but what do you do when you've got a distributed compliance team? Bruce is a part of one here, and what we thought we would do is explore just a few issues that come from it. You know, one of the first questions I have, Bruce, is, you know, you've talked about the fact with me before, a lot of times you've got a bunch of people on the call. When people say they agree, how do you know they're really agreeing?
You know, absolutely. It's a challenge I've had to adjust to, because when you're in person, you can read body language. You can see if they're distracted, if they're checking their emails or doing some other thing, you know, some other multitasking. So it's harder when you're on the phone, because sometimes it just sort of goes blank and you're not sure what that means. Are they still with you? So I find that you have to sort of come back and be a bit more elementary and kind of cover things again sort of towards the end, particularly around action items, around next steps, so that people have truly committed to do something. And also, often I find I'm working with people I've never met, or maybe I'm just working with them on this one particular situation, so I don't really have a history to know, can I count on them? They're reliable, right? They're really going to follow through. So that sometimes I feel like I'm overselling, because I need to get that reassurance from them that, yes, indeed, they are going to do it. Here's the date. Here's the time. Here's the deliverable. There's clarity around that. So I find it's just having to sort of emphasize things over again more than I would in an in-person meeting.
Right. And I think that makes a lot of sense, just because also you don't know who's actually, you know, metaphorically looking at you and listening versus who's answering email on their phone at the same time. You know, in some ways, I think it reminds me of a practice I had when we worked in advertising, even where we would go to a client meeting or do a call, that afterwards we'd write a call report a lot to memorialize things. How often do you find yourself having to sort of write something up as an email confirmation? Do you think that helps, or do you think in some ways it may hurt when you're dealing with remote employees or colleagues?
You know, I find that it helps, because it puts things in black and white. We do a lot of business with email as well, so it's almost all either phone or email, which means you could do it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Right, you wouldn't have to be in the office necessarily. So I find that it's really helpful to have notes with action items, and then people can comment on whether they understood it differently, for example, or something else, new information has come up, so that changes the decision or a deadline, and then you can track it through email. Without the email confirmation, actually, I find it's pretty hard to keep track of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You talked about something that I think is a common problem in workplace today, which is there's a lot of people you can deal with for weeks, months, conceivably years without seeing them face to face. How do you develop rapport and commonality with them so that you're not just the disembodied voice on the other end of the line, and you know, that there's a person there?
Do you know, that is so challenging, because you have a little bit of time at the beginning of the meeting for a little sort of warm-up chit-chat. So you might learn a few details about somebody there that you could follow up on with your next conversation as you build that relationship over time. Sometimes it's just being aware of what else they might be working on. But for the most part, it's pretty straight to business. So it's hard to have that sense of who is that, you know, who's behind the voice and what else matters to them and in their lives that you can just sort of have common ground around, that, you know, is sort of typical for a white-collar profession, right? We're working with our minds, but we're also working well based on strengths of relationships that we have with people. And I find that is challenging when people are remote and we don't see each other and really have very little interaction except for a work situation that we're, you know, trying to solve.
And how do you keep the communication sort of flowing back to you in a way that's, you know, not constantly having to nag people, where you're doing, what are you up to, where are you? You know, how do you encourage people to sort of casually let you know how it's going or how it's not going?
You know, I always let people know that I'm available for them to reach out to me. Because I actually do come into the office, I actually answer my phone. This is the other thing when people are remote, is you just don't know how to call them.
Right.
So I'm actually here. So I do answer my phone. People know that. Also through instant messaging, it lets you know that you're on the system or if you've not been on for a while. I'm pretty much on the system all day too, so I make myself available. One thing I don't do is I don't put very much out of office. If I'm really out of the office, on PTO, there'll be something that'll direct them to somebody else. But for the most part, I want people to know that I'm available and they should feel that they can always reach out to me. So I think other people may have a practice of, you know, sort of notifying people when they're not available. And I always want people to feel like, hey, I'm available. You can shoot me an IM at any time. Let me know what's going on. But often people are, you know, just like all of us, we're just working to get the job done. And they're not necessarily thinking of, oh, I should update Bruce about this project that we're on. So then I do have to reach out to them, ask them to give me a status.
And then your team is across, you work with people, is everyone in California or they spread out across the country?
So my California Medicaid team that I work with directly are, we are only here in California, right? So I have one person here in Glendale, one in Woodland Hills, one in Sacramento area. For our team meetings, I have the Woodland Hills person come to Glendale, so at least we're together, the
right.
three of us. And then we use webcam, actually, to call in the associate who's up north. So I found that that's actually helped. When you can do web meetings and have somebody live, also kind of, you know, cuts down on the multitasking.
Right.
Then you can tell.
You can tell when they're looking away and not paying attention.
Exactly. So I find webcam actually helps with that, too, keeping people kind of focused. But then in Anthem in general, gosh, we're all across the U.S., and so much of our workforce is in the East Coast, so when I get in the morning, I always have at least a dozen emails waiting for people who've been to work, you know, 3 hours before I got here.
Let me ask a couple of questions out of that. First of all, what's your sense of what's the right etiquette for time zone differences? I mean, is, you know, I deal with it too. I work remotely. You know, HCCA, SEC's office is in Minneapolis. I'm in LA. People generally know I'm not going to respond to the emails that come in at 6 a.m. Likewise, I don't expect them to answer an email that I write towards the end of the day. What do you think is a good rule of thumb? I mean, do you think people these days pretty much get, I'm gone for the day, don't expect an answer from me? Or do you think you have to sort of set expectations of this is when I do, this is when I will answer an email late at night, or what?
You know, that's I find that I'm challenged by that because not only are people working remotely, they're also working for hours that might be convenient to them, right? So then I do find people who send emails Friday night at 8:30. I can tell you I'm not working Friday night at 8:30, right?
Right.
Unless there's a total disaster, they're not going to reach me. But it's something I needed earlier in the day. So that does frustrate me a bit when I don't get response sort of through the normal business hours. I know I don't schedule anything that involves someone from the East Coast that goes past 5 p.m. their time. And I know some people have dialed into calls. I'm like, wow, it's 7 o'clock. You know, they're like, well, you know, I work with people on the West Coast. I have to do it. I have to take a meeting once a week at 7 a.m., but that's not too bad. So that's fine. But when people invite me to a 6:30 in the morning meeting, then I do not decline.
You decline. Yeah. I have to say, I mostly do that. As we've grown more international, there's times where I've done more very early or very late at night because of the time zone difference, but it's a tough one. And then let's follow up on the whole webcam thing. So
right.
I have to say my experience with it is kind of funny. As I started traveling a lot for work, my kids were little. They would not want to talk on the phone too much. I would get the voice where I could tell they were watching SpongeBob and not really paying attention to me. And my hope was that the webcam would work. And it did until they discovered they could message me inappropriate messages while they talked, and that was it. But then when I started working remotely for the association, I tried doing that too. And frankly, a lot of my colleagues just didn't like it. People don't necessarily want to have someone staring at them. It's kind of weird looking into the camera at times. Do you find you have the same thing? Is there ways that you think of that people can start building rapport and getting used to the idea that, you know, I really am going to talk to this camera on the top of my screen and look at that?
You know, our California plan president insists on it.
Really?
So that set the tone right there.
The best example of tone at the top I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. So so in California, there's no resistance to that. But for the rest of the country, actually, most people don't use it. I kind of wish they did, because, again, back to your point of how to build rapport with people, you get to see a little bit more of them and understand who they are and what their surroundings are. And I think that just creates a fuller picture of a person.
Yeah, and to your point that you had made earlier about the fact that you don't necessarily have the time to sort of chit-chat and get to know them in the halls, it's a good way to sort of see what's of interest to them, or at least what they haven't bothered to clean off on the wall behind them.
Exactly.
Any final piece of advice for people who, you know, are part of a compliance team that's very distributed?
You know, I think communication is so important, and I find even through email, this happened this week with somebody in compliance who sort of read something differently, and I think I'm a pretty good communicator, right, in general, but then I found, how did she misinterpret that? Then I went back and reread it, and I said, oh, I can understand now. So I think, to a certain extent, we're all moving so fast to accomplish what we need to that I have to step back and say, sometimes I have to be more basic to make sure I'm really, you know, breaking it down in individual steps so that people understand where we're going, so that we don't have any kind of back and forth that creates noise in the system and then sort of misunderstanding. So for me, it's like almost have to be more basic than I want to be, but we just have to.
Great. Well, great advice. Thank you so much for having me over to your office. I'm Adam Turteltaub for Compliance Perspectives. Have a very good day, and thank you for listening.